Brad Lammensdorf of the Lammensdorf Market Timing Report, and the Ranger Equity Bear ETF is here, and we're talking stocks now in the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they're looking for that informs their buys and sells, what they see happening in the broad market, how they put it all together, and ultimately we find out what they like and how they feel about some things that you like. Now, my guest today is Brad Lammensdorf, and he is one of the most interesting guests we will ever have on Money Life. He's one of the few people that I think has been on like every segment you have. We've talked to him about technical analysis. We've talked to him in the big interview. And we've, of course, had him here in the market call. But he runs the Lammensdorf Market Timing Report, also the Ranger Equity Bear ETF. And not that long ago, he started Active Alts, which is a money management business that runs a long-short strategy. What those things have in common is his expertise. But what they also don't have in common is, well, the Ranger Equity Bear ETF, HDGE, it's a bear fund. Whereas the Active Alts is a long-short strategy. And the Lammensdorf Market Timing Report, well, it can go long as well. So he can be in all different sides of things. If you want to find out what those sides are, well, LMTR.com gets you to the website for the newsletter. ActiveAlts.com is the website for that side of his business. And AdvisorShares.com/fund/HDGE will get you information on the Bear ETF. By the way, all of it's linked up at the Money Life Show guest page. So you can get those links and you can follow him on Twitter too, at LMTR Brad. Brad Lammensdorf, great to have you back on the show.
Awesome to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
You know, I love hearing that much energy in your voice, because if I only thought about you as a bear fund manager, I would think, wow, did you ever take a beating over the holidays? And you know, the market rally has been great for investors, but it's been hard for somebody who runs a bear fund and a long short strategy. So explain what it is you do and what it is you look for, regardless of which strategy we see. What's going to make you say, hey, these are the things I like and these are the things I short?
We use the same type of fundamental work that we look at for longs and shorts. We're looking at cash flow. We're looking at the company's ability to continue to do what they're doing. Some of the companies have acquisition type roll-up strategies. Sometimes those can get very aggressive and people can start overpaying. Sometimes that type of strategy is actually pretty good for a long stock if the mergers and acquisitions are all created correctly. So we're into the balance sheets. We're looking at stuff. We overlay a lot of technical work on our ideas so that we don't get carried away with our idea. If it's going in the wrong direction, we may take a loss or cover it. The short-only ETF that we run, you're right, it was a blistering in the fourth quarter. We're here, we're a dedicated short-only ETF, and we're there to protect your portfolio. You don't put 100% in. Traditionally, it's 5 to 15% to create a much smoother stream in your portfolio. For instance, when the market was down in March, everybody wasn't saying the same tune. You know, the markets were down 35%. The HDGE ETF was up almost 50. That's the way that it's supposed to be used. It's a sliver within your portfolio. And you're right. The market is taking up stocks to ridiculous valuations and some of what we're short. We'll see where it ends up. But a lot of the sentiment gauges that we look at and that we've always kind of touted on LMTR are definitely at extreme. So we're recommending hedging at this point.
Well, and let's point out that if somebody's using HDGE, they're using your fund to hedge. If somebody's going to Active Alts, they're asking you to hedge for them. And your hedge strategy, the long short strategy, has been killing it, right?
Yeah, that's right. It had a super year last year. We run it at Interactive Brokers and SMA type accounts. It was up mid-20s last year. It was only down about 9% at the worst during the correction of the strategy. And that's really what a long short's supposed to do. It's supposed to protect you when things are you know, starting to deteriorate, and then try to take advantage of things when, you know, we have nice moves like this. And the long short's been able to do that.
So when you look out today, I mean, we've gotten through the Christmas holiday. We're supposed to be having some measure of January effect. We've seen change in what people thought the political fortunes were going to be. The market has responded positively. Do you think that the market is headed for trouble? I mean, I know you're always looking for trouble, but do you see legitimate trouble on the horizon right now?
Yeah, I actually do. And the reason that I think that there's trouble, for instance, our long short strategy, we were 25% net long coming into last year toward the low, not because of COVID, because of the sentiment gauges were so ridiculous coming out of last year. A lot of what got us so defensive, we covered all of our shorts in March and went 100% long, which may sound crazy, but I think it was more crazy to be 100% long coming out of last year. So with that being said, we're in a very defensive position now. You know, we have 50% cash. We're only about 20% net long in the long short strategy. And we're still putting up, you know, good numbers. It's not affecting, I'm sure they would be bigger if we put more of our balance sheet to work. But this is the time where things are moving awfully fast. The margin levels are hitting all-time highs again. And, you know, it's always hard to leave a really fantastic party at 1 p.m. But, you know, your parents always say, you know, you need to leave the party early and not stay and get in trouble. In our opinion, no matter what indicators you're looking at, market capitalization to GDP, price to sales, there's a indicator called Tobin's Q, which really talks about replacement value of the market. I mean, I can just keep going on and on, but the fact is all of these indicators are 10 to 15% higher than they were in 2000. So these numbers are very difficult to manipulate, and it's not like looking at a PE where a company can just issue debt at 1% and then buy back a bunch of their stock to make their PE go down. These are things that really you cannot figure out. And market cap to GDP, I mean, that's Warren Buffett's favorite indicator, and it's never been higher in 50 years. So low interest rates have pushed a lot of money into the market to some very unrealistic levels, and it's kind of the musical chair game. As we're all sitting here talking about this fabulous bull market, commodities are on a huge rampage. And just in front of our eyes, the last few days, the TLTs, which is the representation for the bond market, has started to really break down. So maybe interest rates end up going up a lot more than we anticipate and more than the government anticipates, and creates a multiple compression in the market that people aren't expecting.
So what's a poster child for the methodology? What's a stock or two, and it can be on the long side or the short side, that really stand out to you right now?
Well, I have to say that a lot of things are extremely overextended, so it's always kind of tough. Some of our favorite standout names, Qualcomm has been a standout name. We love it. We still own it. Microsoft has been a standout name. We love it. We're in multiple marijuana companies. We are big holders in that space as well. And we probably have about an 8%, 10% type position in several different EV companies. One, which was one of our largest gainers last year, which was a company called CleanSpark, which took off in December at $10, and it's up 300-400% very quickly, along with a lot of the other EV plays.
When you look at companies like that, Brad, and you're talking about some of the cannabis plays, et cetera, where you've got super explosive growth, how much, when you see them take that big gain, do you say, let me take it off the table? How much do you say, let it ride? Because I know that there are some popular names out there. As you said, the valuations are extended. Well, they're bigger, broader, better capitalized stocks than a CleanSpark or than the cannabis companies.
No question about it. So this is a rule of thumb that I've always used for decades, which is when a stock gets to the position where it's 50 to 60% over the 200-day moving average, meaning it's just gone up a lot in a very short period of time, that's where everyone knows about dollar cost averaging. What we'll do is we'll start dollar cost selling. So if a stock gets to 100% over its 200-day, we're probably gone because it's been so recognized and it's been so explosive. You know, we'd rather rotate to something that hasn't been so explosive that we hope will get explosive.
Well, now we're going to get quick and dirty on some stocks that I know my audience is interested in.
Quick and dirty.
Bad feeling about this.
Well, if it's a bad feeling, that's only because Brad Lambensdorf is here, and I can't remember the last time he has done the market call and not had something that he had a bad feeling about in terms of he thought it was going down, that, oh, by the way, was a good feeling in terms of, well, he's shorting it. So if you want to learn more about what he does as the strategist at the Lambsdorff Market Timing Report, LMTR.com is how you find him, at LMTRBrad on Twitter. And of course, there are other links out there for the active alts strategy and more. We're going to start with a request we got from David in Grass Valley, California. He wants to know about Teladoc Health, TDOC. I was using their stuff just yesterday with a doctor's appointment. So I know the technology works. How do you feel necessarily about the stock?
The stock's had a tremendous run over the last couple of years, and we're actually short the stock. There's a lot of competition coming into that space, so we would be very careful there.
This is one of those high flyers that people love the space and keep saying, well, coming out of the pandemic, you know, this is going to be there. From your standpoint, this stock has to take a beating. It can't be it gets sold or what have you. The valuation is just out of whack and there must be a come down.
Well, I think that the valuation is ridiculous. But the fact that, I mean, a stock can stay very expensive for a very, very long time. However, there's no real barriers to entry here. And there's, like I said, a lot of competition coming. So margins probably most likely will get hit. And this is a type of stock that's also vulnerable, frankly, to higher rates, too. As rates move higher, your discounted cash flows that you're looking at on these high growth stocks will deflate some, too. So it's got a couple of things working against it here.
Yeah, there's a difference between profit taking, take some off the table, and going short on it. That's what I was trying to drive at. So TDOC, Teladoc Health, well, that was a short.
What about my dreams? What about my money?
David in Grass Valley gets another request, this one for Clean Energies Fuel Corp, ticker CLNE.
CLNE, yeah, it's a great stock. This company was a high flyer several years ago, and it kind of fell apart, and it's kind of coming back with all of the alternatives. And it's a great company. It's a little extended. I'd probably look to try to buy it on a pullback or during a correction, but I think it goes much higher.
Hold.
Yeah, you're holding on CLNE, but you're looking for that opportunity to fire on the pullbacks. That's Clean Energy Fuels Corporation. Our next request is from DA in Honolulu and Lance in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I swear you were talking about it in the point where I asked about your favorites. It's Microsoft, MSFT.
Yeah, Microsoft is just shooting on all cylinders. Nardelli's just done a fabulous job. He 365 was a complete home run. They've really moved this business into more of a what's called an ASP type model, which is different from a licensing model. And so they've got that consistent reoccurring revenue starting, and they're really on all cylinders. So it's a great core name to hold.
This is a company that you've held for a long time, and your turnover is frequently a little bit up from, you know, somebody who's a buy and hold style investor. Is it unusual for you to have a company that you like for this long, that a company is not just a good company, but a good stock for this long? Because I know there's plenty of good companies that are bad stocks to you.
So they need to meet all the criteria that we look for on the long side. Accelerated growth. We want to see that relative strength continue. We don't mind a company that maybe runs up and moves sideways to consolidate their gain. We look at every quarter to make sure that we feel like there's more room going forward to continue to beat their estimates. And Microsoft, like I said, they're in so many different things, and a lot of the things that they were in 5 or 6 years ago, some of those businesses really just were not clicking and working correctly. And like I said, Nardelli's just come into every unit, and they're all just working fabulously now. So for me, there's just no reason to sell it in here yet.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
It's a buy on Microsoft, MSFT. Our last two requests are from Richard in Chula Vista, California. The first is an Alphabet stock. It's Kellogg, ticker symbol K.
So I think that Kellogg, we're actually short that stock. I think it acts very, very poorly. It's about to hit a 52-week low if it isn't there already. I have not participated. It's losing a lot of relative strength. And, you know, they were able to pull forward a lot of business during the crisis, and that is going to be going bye-bye. I even think that I have a few boxes of cereal downstairs that are just sitting there. So their business probably is going to be weak over the next few quarters as everybody gets vaccinated and gets back out of their house. So I would be very careful about that stock. And actually, also being a staple, it trades at a very high multiple for a staple as well.
Oh, it just gets worse and worse.
It does get worse and worse, but Brad's planning to profit on that. He is short Kellogg, ticker symbol K. And last, it's Marvell Technology Group, ticker MRVL.
So with inside of the 5G area, my favorite stock is Qualcomm. They're the 800-pound gorilla. But if I had to choose a second that is doing well in the 5G space, it's Marvell. They made a very big acquisition recently. They're integrating that acquisition. But we really like the 5G space, and Marvell and Qualcomm are the best two ways to play it.
We finish on a high note with Marvell Technology Group, ticker MRVL.
Oh, that's beautiful. We could make a fortune.
But we always are touching on high notes when we get a chance to chat with Brad Lammensdorf. Brad, thanks as always for joining us. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you again down the line.
You as well.
That's Brad Lammensdorf, the strategist behind the Lammensdorf Market Timing Report. You can learn about that at lmtr.com. He's co-manager of HDGE, the Ranger Equity Bear ETF. You can find out about that at advisorshares.com. And don't forget, Active Alts, his long-short business, that's activealts.com. He's on Twitter at lmtrbrad. Well, suffice to say, Brad didn't necessarily agree with all of our recent guests on a couple of those picks. We'll talk about where he agreed or disagreed, and we'll give you a preview of what's coming next week before we cross the finish line on this one right after this message.